Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am Aditya, moderator for this conference. Welcome to the conference call of Garden Ridge Shipbuilders and Engineers Limited, arranged by Concept Investors Relations to discuss its Q4 and FY24. We have with us today Commodore P.R. Hari, Indian Navy retired, Chairman and Managing Director, and Sri R.K. Desh, Director of Finance and CFO. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keyboard. Please note, this conference is recorded. I now would like to hand over the floor to Commodore P.R. Hari, Chairman and Managing Director. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aditya. Ladies and gentlemen, a very good afternoon to each one of you. I am Commodore P.R. Hari, Chairman and Managing Director of your company. And with me here are Sri Ramesh Kumar Dash, Director of Finance and Chief Financial Officer, Srimati Abrajita Ghosh, General Manager of Finance, and Mr. Sandeep Mahapatra, the Company Secretary. At the outset, let me thank each one of you who have taken out of your valuable time to attend this con call. I shall now cover my introductory talk, starting with the current order book, the status of the ongoing project, what are the orders which are expected, and what are our future plans. The order book as on 31st March 2024 stands at ₹22,652.68 crores. This order book mainly consists of orders from the shipbuilding sector, comprising of ₹22,593 crores, with the P-17 Alpha project having a value of ₹12,174 crores, survey vessel large project 940 crores, the anti-submarine shallow water craft project 4,886 crores, and the next generation ocean-going patrol vessel at 3,359 crores. Coming to the P-17 Alpha project, this project, as you are aware, comprised of three warships, and all the three ships have already been launched, and the first ship is currently at 70% physical progress of construction. The second ship is closing 60. The ship is currently at 58% construction. And the third ship is at 47% construction. As per the current build schedule, we intend delivering the first ship during mid-2025, that is mid of next year, and the third ship during mid of 2026 calendar year. That means by August 2026, we will be completing this project. Coming to the Submersible Large project, this is a four-ship project. Again, as you are aware, we already delivered the first ship to the Indian Navy. This ship was commissioned into the Navy on 21st of February 2024, after we delivered the ship on December 4th, 2023. The ship is fully operational now and is under exploitation by the hydrographic arm of the Indian Navy. The second ship is at 87% construction. The ship has already undergone the contractor fleet trial, and it is now getting ready for final machinery trial and the subsequent delivery. The third ship is at 70% of construction, and the fourth ship is very close by at 68% construction. We intend delivering the second ship, which is currently at 87% construction, by August this year. And the second ship will be delivered by the end of the current financial year. And the last ship, the fourth of the series, will be delivered by the first quarter of the next financial year. Coming to the anti-submarine shallow water craft project, this is the eighth ship project. You may be aware, Navy had a requirement of 16 anti-submarine shallow water craft, and they have split the order between two shipyards, Cochin Shipyard and GRSC. Of the 8 ships that are being constructed by GRSC, 6 have already been launched. And one more ship is expected to be launched during the second quarter of the current financial year. And the last ship, the 8th ship, will be launched during the last quarter of this financial year. Of these 6 ships that have been already launched, the first ship has touched 87% physical progress of construction. The basin trials, the harbor trials of the ship have already been completed. The ship is getting ready for the sea trials and thereafter for handing over to the customer, that is the Navy. The second ship is at 70% construction, the third ship at 63%, and the fourth, fifth, and sixth ship are around 40 to 45% construction. We have signed the contract for 4 next-generation ocean-going patrol vessels for the Indian Navy. This contract was signed on 30th of March 2023. We already commenced production of all the 4 ships, and the ships are presently at a percentage construction between 15 to 20%. We are also undertaking a project for the government, West Bengal, for a fully electric ferry. The vessel is fully ready. All the trials have been completed, and the technical acceptance of the vessel has been undertaken by the government of West Bengal on 21st of March this year. The vessel will soon be handed over to the government of West Bengal during mid of June this year. We are also executing a project, a 6 fast patrol boat project for the government of Bangladesh. 3 of these boats are already ready and have completed the trial. We are expecting the government of Bangladesh to take over these vessels during June this year. We have recently won an order from the Ministry of Earth Sciences. We were declared L1 sometime during the mid of last year, third quarter of last year. We have received the letter of intent from the Ministry of Earth Sciences. This is for an oceanographic research vessel. The order value is approximately 840 crores. We expect the contract, the formal contract, to be signed sometime in June, that is next month. Coming to the orders that are on the anvil, we have been declared L1 for an export order for the government of Bangladesh for a 1,000 meter cube dredger, and the order value is approximately 135 crores. We have received the LOI, and the contract is expected to be signed during the first week of June this year, that is next month. Happy to inform you that we have also been declared L1 for an ocean-going tug for the government, again for the government of Bangladesh. This is also an export order. The negotiations are in progress, and the order value could be around 160 to 170 crores. Again, as late as 2 days back, we have been declared L1 for a DRDO research vessel. The order value is likely to the tune of plus 500 crores. These are, in a nutshell, the status, our existing order book, the status of the projects that we are executing, and also the orders that are immediately on the anvil, where we have either been declared L1 or where we have received the LOA. Coming to the orders that are expected in the near future, where the RFPs are expected in the near future, I have been talking during the previous interactions that we are expecting a next generation corvette project RFP to be restored by the Navy. We are expecting this RFP in the coming month. And as you are aware, this is the 8 ship project. With the L1 shipyard taking 5 ships and the L2 shipyard getting 3 ships, and the order value is likely to the tune of around 36,000 crores. There is another project, again for the Ministry of Earth Sciences, for coastal research vessels. 2 number coastal research vessels. The shipyard, your shipyard, has already submitted the bid for this project, and the order value is likely to the tune of around 500 crores. Navy is likely to come out with an RFP for 2-in-number multi-purpose vessels. The order value is likely to be to the tune of around 1,200 crores. We expect the RFP to come out during the third quarter of the current financial year. Similarly, during the current financial year, again, maybe in the last quarter, we expect the RFP for 5-in-number next-generation survey vessels to come out. The order value is to the tune of around 3,000 crores. I have covered briefly about the orders that are likely to be on the anvil. And coming to our focus area, in addition to domestic warship building, as evident, we have now ventured into non-defense platform like the oceanographic research vessel, the NPOL research vessels, the coastal research vessels that we have bid for, the Bangladesh dredger, and so on. In addition, we will also be aggressively pursuing commercial shipbuilding for exports. We are in the process of negotiations with potential owners, ship owners, for multi-purpose vessels. And hopefully in the next interaction, I should be able to share some positive news with you. Our thrust area, in addition to domestic warship building, commercial shipbuilding, as I just stated, would also be towards development of green energy platforms. The first such initiative has already been successfully completed with us completing the next generation electric ferry for the government of West Bengal. We have submitted our bids for a larger project, 15-in-number vessels for the government of West Bengal, again, Bengal Water Metro, and also for a project by the Kerala Water Metro. So this is an area that we would be focusing on in the near future. Also, autonomous platforms. Again, as I have stated during the last few interactions, that we have ventured into development of autonomous platforms in all three domains of operation, that is, surface, subsurface, and aerial. Both in surface and subsurface domains, our products have already been successful. The prototypes have already been successfully tested. And on the aerial front, the drones capable of maritime operations, the development is still in progress, and we expect this product to be successfully launched by end of the current calendar year. Just to place on record that these initiatives towards autonomous platforms are long-term investments, as we expect the Indian Armed Forces especially to have a large quantum of autonomous platforms in their inventory in the coming years. One of the surface vessels that I had mentioned, we already got an order from the NSTL, very low value order, but it is the beginning that we have won this on competitive bidding, and this order is likely to be completed by July this year. We had concluded memorandum of understanding with both Messrs. Rolls-Royce for co-production of marine diesel engines, and also with Messrs. Kongsberg Finland for development of water jets. Of these, one of them, the MOU with the Rolls-Royce, has been converted into a license agreement. And similarly, the MOU with Kongsberg is now in the process of transition into a license agreement. With these license agreements in place, we expect to be a strong contender for getting orders for both propulsion engines, diesel engines, and for water jets, for the water jet FACs and similar platforms for which the Navy RFPs are likely to come out during FY 26-27. Exports continue to be a focus area. I had mentioned earlier that we are currently focusing on European clients for multi-purpose vessels, in addition to the IOR region countries where we already made our footprint. Ladies and gentlemen, this in a nutshell gives you a glimpse of what our operational performance is and what all we expect in the near future with respect to potential orders and areas of focus. Now, coming to the financial performance, I'm very happy to state that for the seventh quarter on the trot, our financial performance has been on an upward and steady upward trend. Our revenue from operations, if you're taking financial year, that is FY24, we have registered a 40% growth over the previous year, jumping from rupees 2,561 during financial year 23 to 3,593 crores during financial year 24. Similarly, the total income has registered a 48% growth, with the current year's figures, that is FY24 figures, touching 3,892 crores. The EBITDA has jumped by 41% to 533 crores, and the profit after tax currently, that's for financial year 24, stands at 357.24 crores, registering a growth of 57%. Our net worth also has been showing a steady increase from 1,413 crores during financial year 23 to 1,673 crores during FY24. The investors have shown confidence in us, as evident from the market capitalization, the share price, and in turn, the market capitalization. You know about this better than me. I would not like to dwell much on this topic. Quarter on quarter, our revenue from operations, as compared to the last year, has gone 69% increases there. It has touched for the first time plus 1,000 crores. During Q4 FY24, the revenue from operations stands at 1,015 crores. The EBITDA registering an 84% increase. The PAT, 102% increase. And the EPS, 102% increase, touching 9.74 as against 4.83 during the corresponding quarter of FY23. Ladies and gentlemen, with this, I conclude my introductory address. I'm open for any questions from you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I have a couple of questions. First of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers in this quarter. The first question is essentially around your EBITDA margin. So if I see the EBITDA margin for Q4, and I'm excluding other income here, it was a very healthy level of 8.9% almost. This is the highest margin that we have witnessed since last several quarters. Just wanted to understand the key drivers for the same. One thing I can see that subcontracting charges have declined QOQ, but other than that, if there is something apart from revenue that you would like to highlight, that is the first question.
Yeah, could you tell your next question also? I'll answer together.
Yeah, sure. The second question is more on the long-term prospects. We have talked about the RFP of Next Generation Corvettes, which will be out in June, which is a very welcome news. So just wanted to understand the order timeline from here on, whether you expect any delays in there. And if you could also highlight what about P-17 Bravo frigate project. That's it from my side.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Amit Dixit. I'll start with thank you for congratulating us. I think the management, the entire company, and also each one of you, the investors, for giving us this opportunity to perform to your expectations. Now, coming to the NGC Corvette, this is a project that we are eagerly looking for. And as I mentioned, we expect the RFP to come out sometime in June. It's an optimistic assessment, but we expect it to come out in June. And this is a 8-ship project, and as per our understanding, as per the RFI conditions, there are 4 of us who are qualified for that. 2 of these shipyards would get in the ratio of 5 and in the numbers, 5 and 3 ships, so probability factor is very high. The L1 shipyard could get around 22,500 crores order, and the L2 shipyard around 14,500 crores. So it's a very high-value order. And with our experience of having built and delivered both missile and anti-submarine corvettes to the Navy, just to place on record, we are the only shipyard to have built and delivered 9 corvettes to the Navy, and all of them are in active service with the Navy. So with that kind of experience and expertise, so we would be, let us say, bidding to win. So that would be our strategy. As per the timelines, you had asked about the timelines. If the RFP comes out in June, let us take a normal timeline of around 4 months from RFP to bid submission, which means the L1 could be deployed towards the end of the current calendar year. And from there, you take the best possible scenario of around 7 to 8 months for conclusion of contract. Navy has also put in a lot of effort in streamlining the RFP this time. So we expect, let us say, lesser discussions and negotiations between the L1 declaration and the contract signing. So I expect, again, optimistically, by July, August next year for the contract to be signed. Coming to the P-17 Bravo project, Navy has the requirement, as per our understanding and input, for follow-on ships of the P-17 Alpha class. Right now, there's a 7-ship P-17 Alpha project going on, and as you are aware, 4 of these are being built by Mazagon Dock and 3 by GRSE. The first of the class, and this definitely would be, is one of the ships that is being built by the lead shipyard, the Mazagon Dock, and we expect, it is assessed, that this ship could come out sometime during the current calendar year. So the next ship, that is our ship, could come out sometime during the second quarter of the first quarter of the next financial year. And the project completion is expected by 2026 May. So my assessment, our assessment, is that the requirement of Navy being genuine, they would like a continuity in production of these ships from then onwards. So, realistically, the RFP for this project could come out by 2026. That is the earliest I expect the RFP to come out. Coming to the margins. Margins this quarter have been very encouraging. And as you rightly said, this has been one of the best with respect to margins. And yes, the contract, subcontracted value has come down, but also production efficiency. Revenue expenditure reduction, subcontracted value reduction, and overall efficiency improvement is what has resulted in the margins being high. Thank you.
Okay, sir, one of the follow-ups, if I may. Now, you mentioned that the subcontracting costs were lower, some of the efficiencies have been built in. So do we expect that going ahead as well, you know, these efficiencies that you have built in over a period of time would also be sustainable? So would you be able to guide the margin, you know, sustainable margin over next couple of years? Could it be more than 5.5% that we have been accustomed to seeing?
See, I have been regularly interacting with you all during the last 7 quarters. So we have been consistently stating that unlike any other manufacturing industry, in case of shipbuilding, healthy PAT margins, I repeat, PAT margins are something above 7.5%. We have been maintaining this, and we are very confident of maintaining similar margins. To answer your question in a simple sentence, we are confident of maintaining a similar margin in the coming times too. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Venkatesh from Logic Tree. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. So first of all, congratulations on a consistent performance and uptrending performance. So to be honest with you, I think we have been tracking this company for many years, probably since IPO times, and one thing that we really appreciate is what we see is what we get. You don't make any fancy statements, neither do you make conservative statements. It's extremely realistic and lots of clarity, so I appreciate you for keeping the investors informed on this. So thank you for that. That's number one. And secondly, two questions, sir. One is, while you gave us a visibility on the possible orders over the next 12 months, in one of your earlier media interactions, you had pointed out that GRSC has the ability to attract a 1,20,000 crore order book over the next 3 years. Can you throw some light on it, sir? We don't exactly need any commitments or anything like that. What are the possibilities considering various circumstances? That is question number one, sir. Question number two is the Rolls-Royce marine diesel engine opportunity and the water jet opportunity with the Finland company. What is the size of the opportunity, sir? What is it that one can expect if things go well over a period of time? That's it from my side.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Venkatesh. I'll start with the MOU likely to be translated into a license agreement with Kongsberg Gunland for water jets. See, most of the high-speed, small-size ships of the Indian Navy and Coast Guard are having water jet propulsion. And with the Make in India initiative really gathering momentum, it is imperative that all the future marine platforms, that is the Navy and Coast Guard platforms, have a certain amount of indigenous content in their equipment set. And as I said, water jets are definitely used in large numbers in these ships. So once translated, once our license agreement gets translated for co-production, the opportunity is huge. To put an exact number, I would not be able to do it at this stage. But what I would just say that There is a 120 FIC, fast interceptor craft coming here for the Indian Navy, and a 22 water jet FIC project again coming for the Indian Navy, and an 18 fast patrol vessel project coming for the Indian Coast Guard. All these are likely to come up in the next 3 to 5 years. And it is at that time, it is by that time that this collaboration will gain momentum. So at this juncture, I would not be able to put a value to these numbers, I think the cost to these numbers. But all I can state is that, yes, there is opportunity, a huge opportunity on this front. Now, coming to the 1,20,000 crore that was mentioned, now, let me again clarify this thing. I'll put it this way. Again, I'm repeating something which I stated earlier, but I am repeating purely to provide clarity. As far as domestic warship building, I will just keep the other frills out at this moment. As far as domestic warship building is concerned, there are 4 defense public sector undertakings. There is V plus MDA plus JSL plus SSL plus another public sector undertaking. There is a Cochin Shipyard under the Ministry of Shipping and Surface Transport. And a couple of private players, the leader among them in the private sector being the Larsen & Toubro Shipyard, plus Chowblay, Shaw, Kittagad, and so on. There are smaller shipyards. These are the shipyards available in India who are eligible for competing or bidding for various types of ships depending upon their classification and the assessment by the Navy or Coast Guard. Now, coming to the value of 1,20,000 crores order, the first one is the what I had mentioned at that point of time, or that these are the things which are likely to come up in a span of 3 to 5 years. Now, one of them is definitely the next generation corvette project. The second one that is likely to come up is the multi-purpose vessel. The third is the next generation survey vessel. The fourth is the 120 FIC fast interceptor craft for the Navy. Then there is a project for 2-in-1 landing platform deck for the Indian Navy. Then there are more platforms again coming up. Like the Coast Guard is looking for an 18 next generation fast patrol vessels. So all put together in a span of 3 to 5 years, the likely order value is to the tune of 1,20,000 crores. Now, for this, depending upon the capacity, assessed capacity means in terms of building capacity and the capability, Navy and Coast Guard have shortlisted shipyards. Now, again, coming to one, I'll just give you one example. As I mentioned, there are 7 shipyards I had stated, 4+1+LNT plus a couple of small shipyards. But of these 7 or 8 shipyards for the NGC project, as of now, only 4 shipyards are shortlisted. So this 1,20,000 that is coming in the next 3 to 5 years, depending upon the classification and the capability, some of us qualify for. So in a very conservative manner, if you put it across, a substantial amount of this would come to GRC2. That is a statement which I had mentioned about the orders on the anvil. Hope this clarifies.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So I think just trying to get the understanding right, when there is a significant flow of orders and the order flow, if GRSC is able to secure over the next 2-3 years, sir, because we will achieve pretty much peak revenues in FY25, FY26, etc., will these order flows help us to maintain the run rate of the revenue over the foreseeable 5-7 years, sir, if we are able to secure those orders?
Yes, we actually need these orders, at least around 20-25,000 crores we need to sustain the revenue tempo beyond 2027. As you rightly stated, that with us moving definitely on an upward trajectory, the current order being around 22,000 order crores, with next year taking, we need orders at least in 2025, calendar year, financial year 2026, to sustain beyond 27. So that is why we are looking at attractive projects like the next generation corvettes. And also, if you observe, we also are not shied away from taking small orders. We have taken orders worth around 840 crores from the Ministry of Earth Sciences. As I mentioned, we have been declared L1 for another 500 crores plus. So we are maintaining our kitty reasonably filled so that sustained revenue flow happens. Even if there is let us hypothetically say we don't get one big order, any big order, let us say we don't get NGSC, so what? But we will fill the gap with these small orders that we are taking. And of course, aggressively looking for a big order like the NGC and relentlessly pursuing the Navy's requirements for P-17 Bravo.
Very nice, sir. So green energy platforms, autonomous platforms, Rolls-Royce marine engines, these are also of significant opportunity sizes, quite a lot, would you say that?
See, if you are looking purely from the money part,
yeah,
money comes from domestic warship building orders. So the big chunk of money comes, the order value of the warship, because purely because of the equipment fit, the weapon fit, the value goes up. Like, let us say, conventional green energy platform, the cost is nothing much.
Mm-hmm.
Cost is not, but the volumes could be more. That is where we tend to make profit or we tend to capture the market. Same for autonomous platforms. Autonomous platforms, we are now investing towards development of autonomous platforms. Realistically, we will not see much revenue coming from these platforms in the next 3 to 5 years. But fully acknowledging and understanding that this is the future. Because Navy has already got a roadmap, an autonomous roadmap charted out. 5 to 10 years, we will start getting revenue from autonomous platforms. Like, since you mentioned about green energy, there are countries who have decided and promulgated them that they will go green. Some of the Scandinavian countries, they told by 2030, we will go green. Which means all their inland water transportation, all their tugs, ferries, barges, the commercial ships which are plying within their waters, they will go green.
Yeah.
Similarly, India also, I'm very confident, will take a step to go green in a time-bound manner. At that time, all the conventional platforms, diesel or similar energy-using platforms, will get phased out. And there is also, that's why we are developing capability in these two domains, green and ugly. Thank you.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Umesh Raut from Noruma. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers and excellent ending to the year as well. So this is Umesh Raut here from Nomura India. My first question is more of a follow-up on Amit's question, where you have mentioned that there are four total shipyards who have qualified for next-generation Corvette contract. So can you please specify other three names?
See, I am not sure whether it is available in the open domain or not. Frankly, I am not sure at this juncture whether the other three shipyards' name is in the open domain. Since I am not sure, I would not like to mention all it. Suffice to say that they are among the seven that I mentioned earlier.
Okay. No issue, sir. So my second question is more of on the indigenization. So if I remember correctly, if I look at warship in three aspects, float, move, and fight content, I think as a country, we are relatively having a lower indigenization towards move and fight content, basically about closer to maybe 60% indigenization content in moving components for warship and about maybe closer to 30% kind of indigenization content for fight equipment. So is there any idea or any thought process to increase indigenization for move and fight content within the warship?
Thank you. Very interesting question. Yes, in any kind of marine platform, there are four components. There is float, move, fight, and survive. In case of float, float as in that, as very evident, comprises of the steel hull and the float worthiness related aspect. There, we have, as a nation, we have achieved 100% indigenization, including the special steel that earlier used to be imported. All of such items are being presently manufactured within India, and their 100% indigenization is there. Now, I'll come to the last one, survive. Survive as in the life rafts, the life boats, the firefighting equipment, LSA, they call LSA, so the life saving and firefighting equipment, survival related equipment. Again, as a nation, we have achieved over 90% of indigenization. Even the last 10%, as a country, we are on the threshold of achieving that, no issues with that. Now comes to the move and fight. You're bang on. The move component, as of now, we have an indigenous percentage of just about 60, and fight, yes, around 30, 35 in some of the cases. There is a definite impetus being given by the government of India to increase the percentage of indigenization to an extent that it is being monitored very, very closely at the apex level of my ministry and also the our counterparts in the other ministries. The move component mainly comprises of the propulsion-related equipment and, of course, the associated electronics, which are the control systems, the navigational aids, and so on. In this, why 60%? Because as a nation, again, we have not yet developed the competency to have our own propulsion engines, which form the heart of the move component. As you may be aware, there are various DPP procurement methodology. One is the make one, make two, make three, and so on. The propulsion engines are getting indigenized under the make one category. It is, and in the make two category, again, the propulsion engines can be classified into high power engines and low power engines. You might have heard about our collaboration with Rolls-Royce towards co-production of the high-speed, low-power engines. The low-speed, high-power engines, that is beyond 6 megawatt, 6 megawatt and above, there's a make project which is already going on, and we expect it to see the light of the day. It's completion by 5 years from now. That is a realistic assessment. So with this getting covered, the move component, the indigenization component, will definitely go beyond 85 to 90. Coming to the fight component, see, here the growth, the indigenization percentage growth has been very steady and systematic. The country has got a very, very clear policy towards indigenization of weapon systems. The immediate target, in my appreciation, would be to increase this percentage from 60 to 65% by 2030. This is this my current appreciation on the indemnization process of the move and fight component. Thank you.
Got it, sir. So my next question is more of a difference between NGC and ASW Corvette that we have delivered earlier. So basically P-28 contract and now the upcoming contract which is coming up for NGC. So in terms of technical aspects or maybe the kind of missile system that we are kind of thinking to kind of install on that particular NGC, so how it will be different and what additional systems or other things we are talking about in terms of upgrades?
See, I just talk about the anti-submarine corvette. The anti-submarine corvette have got both the surface weapons and torpedoes which are capable of underwater operations, plus the sonars which are capable of underwater threat detection. Since the RFP for the NGC is not yet out, and since it is just around the corner, I would not like to actually compare the specs of this, just to state that they will be the most advanced corvettes that have yet been built in the country. I'll just to give you an idea. In a, so that you can make a guesstimate from that, just to give an idea. Now, in every shift, the equipment component is around 60 to 65%, and it could even touch closer to 70% in case of weapon intensive backup. Now the cost of a ASW Corvette was around 1,615 crores, I think. Now the cost of a NGC, the AON cost is around 4,500 crores. You can imagine if you are just extrapolating the equipment content of around 65%. Naturally, the cost, the value, why the value has gone up is because of the advanced weapons and sensors that are going to be put in this platform. As I said, since the RFP has not been published, I would not like to comment further on that.
Fair enough, sir. My last question is pertaining to status on landing platform dock program, because it has been delayed for quite some time now. And whether this time private sector along with public sector will kind of compete among themselves in terms of bidding as well, or is it only for private sector in terms of participation?
As you rightly said, the LPD, Landing Platform Dock project, has been shuttling yes, no, for the last 7 to 8 years, as far as I am aware, or even beyond that. This is a requirement of the Indian Navy, very much known because it's a part of their prospective plan. As per my understanding, it is going to be a competitive bid between capable shipyards, which include both private and public. When the RFP is likely to come out at this juncture, it is not known. It definitely would be somewhere in the queue, but the priority projects like the NGC or the NGSV or the MPV are far more advanced with respect to AON having been accorded. So I don't see, if you're asking my appreciation, I don't see this RFP coming out in the current financial year. But to answer your question, when it comes out, as per the extent policy, it will be a competitive bid between both public and private capital shipyards. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. I'll join back with you. And all the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Our next question is from the line of Dipojit from Roop Investment. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you for giving this opportunity. And congratulations for the sets of numbers which the company has delivered on consistent basis. My first question is, recently our defense minister and even our Navy chief has mentioned there is a need of an hour for aircraft carrier warship. And it is been mentioned currently India has only two aircraft carrier warship, and in the need of time, incoming time frame, we at least required 8 to 9 warships, and the size of this warship is also going to be very huge. So can you just throw some light on the same?
Thank you. I understand you're asking about the indigenous, you're talking about the aircraft carriers.
Yeah, yes. Aircraft carrier warship.
Yes, India currently has two of them, one which is Iris Vikramaditya, and the second, that is a Russian origin ship. And the second is a gas turbine propelled indigenous aircraft carrier, the first aircraft carrier to be built by India, by one of our sister shipyards. You have stated, the nation, the decision makers have expressed their intent to enhance the aircraft carrier fleet of India. Definitely, this is also there in the perspective plan of the Navy. So it is very much on the anvil. But when it is going to come out, that is not known at this stage. But from what we have heard and what we have seen, today the focus is on indigenous shipbuilding, and of the 66 platforms that are being currently built in India for the Indian Navy, 64 are being built by Indian shipyards. So definitely, if the same philosophy is going to be followed, the next aircraft carrier is also most likely to be built in India. So this is all I can state at this juncture. Though it is known and it has been published in the media that the decision makers have expressed their intent to expand the aircraft carrier fleet of the nation.
So what is the value of per carrier ship, if you can throw some figure, approximately the value content? It has been mentioned that it has been lakhs of crores to build a warship carrier. So just want to get an understanding on the same.
I'll give you an analogy. If you're going in for an SUV, you can get a Scorpio, you can get Innova, and so on. Even within aircraft carriers, depending upon the displacement and of the carriers, the cost varies. Like the first aircraft carrier, which was built by India, the aircraft carrier, the indigenous aircraft carrier, Vikram, the cost could be to the tune of around 25,000 crores. There's a 40,000 ton vessel. So if the country is looking for an aircraft carrier of similar tonnage, because it depends upon the tonnage, because as the tonnage increases, the fit, the size increases, and so does the number of aircraft which are going to be there, and so does the equipment fit, and so on. So if we are looking for a 40,000 ton aircraft carrier or a 50,000 ton aircraft carrier, the value could be to the tune, considering the current prices, between 35 to 40,000 crores.
Thank you. And my next question will be, sir, recently you have conducted one more investor interview in the month of March. And at that time you said there was some share capital which has been introduced from the firm. If you can throw some light and any plan for any bonus share for the shareholders.
Your voice got distorted. Could you please repeat this question? Then I will hand over to my finance to answer this question.
Sir, recently in the month of March, you have conducted one investor conference. At that time, you have mentioned that there is some introduction of share capital, which has been mentioned from DPOM side. So you said it will be shared to the investor in coming few months. So any update on the same and any plan on bonus shares?
Actually, it was not discussed here, but you asked some of the investors, they asked regarding this authorized share capital.
That's correct.
So actually, that is as per the DIPOM guidelines. Actually, no firm decision has been taken.
Okay, so there is no further action taken on that.
As of now, it is work in progress. So we will let you know as soon as we get clarity on this.
Oh, not an issue, sir. Thank you, sir, for forwarding all the valuable information.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Our next question is from the line of Viraj from Jupiter Financials. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on the outstanding numbers. So my question is, since you talk about so much of orders coming in next for the Navy in post-2027 onwards, are we looking at any sort of capacity expansion? And right now, at what level of capacity utilization are we in? That is my question number one.
Yeah, could you ask, if you have any more questions, you can ask that and I'll answer together.
Yeah, and my next question is, sir, are there any plans to do offer for sale? If your knowledge, if you can share some light on that as well. That's it from my side.
So, yeah, I'll answer the simpler question first. Offer for sales at this juncture, we are awaiting further instructions from DIPAM. As and when we get clarity on this, naturally we'll let you know and we will automatically come to know. Coming to the orders which are currently under execution, where and also where we are getting, and we are the L1 and the negotiations are in progress, and where we are expected to conclude the contracts soon, and also the orders that are expected from the Navy in the near future and beyond 2027. You had asked a question about current capacity utilization and also the plans for capacity enhancement. You may be aware that we have, unlike many of the shipbuilding companies in India, we are based in Kolkata, and within Kolkata we have three separate shipbuilding units. In addition, we have taken on three dry docks being one of the core assets required for shipbuilding and stroke ship repairs. We have taken over three more docks on long-term lease from the Kolkata Port Trust. We are in the process of taking over one more dry dock from the Kolkata Port Trust. In addition to that, we have taken over one facility from the Central Inland Water Transport Corporation way back in 2006. This facility was completely defunct. So we had taken up an infrastructure augmentation or other regeneration process. All these put together, our capacity as of now stands at capacity to construct 20 warships concurrently. That means 8 large and 12 medium and small. Now, we fully seized of the requirement to enhance our capacity. So we have gone ahead with a new strategy which has been effectively put across, wherein utilization of the spare capacity of the partnership yards, that is effective. In addition, work is already in progress for enhancing our own internal capacity from 20 to 24. By the end of this calendar year, our capacity for concurrent construction will be 24 ships instead of the current 20 ships. So these put together, what I'm trying to say, enhancement of the captive capacity from 20 to 24 ships. In addition, the peculiarity of shipbuilding where ship construction is at various stages. There could be a point of time, the pre-launch phase of the ships are constructed in building or berths or dry docks. There will be a post-launch phase when they are outfitted in berths and jetty. So all put together, we are good to take the orders that are on the anvil and also to execute our current order books.
And sir, when we utilize partners' capacity, do we pay them lease or what sort of agreement is that?
Could you come again when you increase the capacity?
When we utilize the partner's shipyard capacity, how does it work? Do we pay them the lease fee or?
I'll explain this. What we do is we identify through a standard EOI stroke tendering process. We identify capable shipyards who at that point of time have spare capacity. So we offload, outsource part construction of few of the platforms to facilitate, basically to facilitate concurrent construction. The complete design of the ship is ours. The equipment, its procurement is completely by ours. The project management is completely by ours. The part construction happens in this vendor premises on completion of this part construction. The vessels are brought back to the parent facility that is ours. The final outfitting happens and the ships are taken out. So very effective model that we have found out. That is the reason how we could get good progress on the additional water craft project.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Venkatesh from Logic Tree. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, a couple of follow-up questions, sir. One is on the ship repair facility, which you have mentioned sometime back in a few calls. Would you say that that will come into effect in the few years? Because I think it's a high-margin business, and I remember that Cochin Shipyard has signed a contract with the U.S. Navy or probably has signed or something is in the anvil in terms of repairing ships for it. Do we have some plans like that going forward in the future with the India-U.S. strategic partnership? Second question is on Rolls-Royce marine diesel engines, if you can elaborate on that opportunity.
Coming to ship repairs, we were not into serious ship repairs around 3-4 years back. As late as end of 2021, the actual operations come in sometime during early 22. We had taken over 3 dry docks from the Kolkata Port Trust. And just to state that we almost have 100% occupancy of these docks itself. We have completed 14 refits for the Indian Coast Guard. And currently, we are executing one normal refit, the major refit for the Indian Navy. So this facility has actually, this vertical has actually taken off. Coming to your specific question on the Indo-US collaboration for ship repairs, as of now, the 3 shipyards who have got direct sea access, that is Cochin Shipyard, then Mazagon Docks, and Larsen & Toubro Shipyard, they have agreement wherein these ships, whenever they come for operational turnaround or minor repairs, they undertake the repairs there. We have not yet got into this agreement with under this scheme, that is the U.S. Indo cooperation for ship repairs. We have not yet got into that. We will be examining this. Please understand one constraint. I would say a constraint that we have is ours is a riverine shipyard, which means when a ship comes for a very short duration, most of the U.S. ships will be coming for a very, very short duration. So when they come in for a short duration, traveling through the river, coming in, finishing the repairs and going back, the feasibility and the viability of that needs to be further examined. So instead of focusing on that, we would rather go in for the refit of ships who are likely to stay for longer duration, like what we are doing for the Navy. That would be our focus area. Coming to the Rolls-Royce and our agreement, the intent of going in for, okay, we have a long association with MTU, now taken over by Rolls-Royce, for assembly and testing of marine diesel engines. We have just shifted gear, and instead of just assembly and testing, we are going in for co-production. Co-production with under the Make-2 philosophy, that we would be initially looking for indigenous content plus 60%. The opportunity that is available is again for the water. I think earlier you only had asked regarding the water jet, correct? So
yes, sir.
On these ships are high-speed ships. These ships, while having water jet propulsion, need high-speed engines, very, very high-speed engines. And it is for those high-speed engines that we have got into a collaboration with Rolls-Royce. So akin to the revenue expected from, again I mentioned I cannot translate the number of ships, stroke engines, stroke water jets to cost, but the opportunity is similar to what is existing for the water jets. In this case, we have already signed the license agreement also, and we expect the first of the RFPs from Navy for the 22 water jet FACs to come out sometime during FI-36.
Yeah, that's great.
Where these engines are expected to be used.
Yeah. Thanks. Any little bit, if I can squeeze in on any small businesses coming in terms of the bridges and other unique things about GRSE, sir?
Oh, yes. I was trying to, just to confine my introductory talk, I did not speak about bridges, very interesting business vertical. It's a small vertical, very, very attractive business, compact vertical, where we are the market leaders in India. And just to see the growth they have got, the last year, FY23, the revenue from operations from the variable segment was just 69 crores. In FY24, it has shot up to 140 crores. And this is very, very interesting. Actually, I would like to speak on this at a much longer duration some other time. But the team, a very, very skeletal team, is managing this business. Good connect with the potential customers. And our major customers are the Border Roads organization with whom we have live MOUs for multiple projects, the Indian Army and the National Highways Infrastructure Development Corporation. So as far as this diversification is concerned, one of the verticals which we are going to focus on would be the daily business, the portable steel business segment. And of course, you have already listened to what I mentioned about green energy platforms and the autonomous platforms. Thank you.
I missed the part on who are your core customers in the bridge one, sir. Is it National Highway Authority, sir?
The major customer is the Border Roads Organization, BRO, Border Roads Organization.
Okay.
The next is the Indian Army.
Hmm.
And the third is the National Highways Infrastructure Development Corporation, NHADCL.
Okay.
And of course, various state and public works departments.
So what are the operating margins of this particular business segment, sir? If you have a revenue of 140 crores, what will be the operating profit or EBITDA?
This is around 7 to 7.5%.
Is there also fixed margins, basically? Yes.
See, it's again, it's competitive. It is competitive except for some of the products where we have IPR, which is our patented product. The bridges for the Indian Army are under competition. So overall, our margins would be to the tune of around 7 to 7.5%.
And over a five-year period, can this revenue be about 500 crores or something like that? Sir? Would that be an internal vision for you in this segment?
See, 500 would be a bit too ambitious for my own liking, but I would definitely like to double this in the next 5 years. Since you mentioned it, the total market size, when I proudly say that we are the market leader and we own around 70% of the market size itself is limited. So, that's an issue.
Yeah. It's a very unique business, I guess, yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Wish you the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhishek Poddar from HDFC Mutual Funds. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my question. Sir, could you guide us how to think about the revenue booking for next 2 years? As you mentioned that you would see a peak revenue next 2 years. So one is that, and second is also, let's assume that in 2025 you are able to win a next-gen COVID order. So first couple of years will be hull construction. So how will, 27, 28 look like? Would be a lean period, or we could see some growth there also?
Thank you, Mr. Abhishek. Now, yes, you are right. The next year and the next year are going to be the peak revenue recognition. Yes. Now, I had earlier interactions. I had assured a revenue growth of around 20-25%. Years. I hope we have surpassed, met your expectations and surpassed it. So, we have a current order book of 22,000 plus crores, and keeping the NGOPV apart, that is around 3,500 crores remaining, 3,400 crores remaining, and the one-off projects that we are winning now, that is 800 plus crores, oceanographic research vessel. Our majority of the revenue in the next 2 years will come from the T-17 Alpha project and the anti-submarine shallow water craft project, with the survey vessel already having crossed that threshold. Now, the next year and the next, that is 22,000 plus crores of that, if you subtract around 5,000 crores, balance order book will be executed by FY27. So, again, I'm going back to what I mentioned, we'll be aspiring for a growth of over 20-25% year on year from now in the next 2 years. Coming to you had asked a second question about the order expectation on the NGC. Yes, definitely we'll be pushing for that. And if the order comes in financial year 26, that means towards the end of calendar year 25, the actual revenue recognition will start sometime 2 years down the lane. Because the first 2 years, 1 year, the first year is the preparatory phase, pre-design phase, and the initial phase thereafter, after the production starts, will be mostly for all construction where the revenue recognition is minimum. And this actually augurs well for us because it is by that time, that means by FY 28 is when our existing order book gets wiped out. So that is the time when the NGC will start giving us returns. And also to offset this, let us say, the gap, as I mentioned in one of the earlier discussions, that we are bidding and winning orders from multiple customers, including the DRDO, the Ministry of Earth Sciences, and definitely in the next con call, hopefully I'll be able to convey the happy news regarding the commercial shipbuilding. So that will offset the gap, if at all any, which I don't see it happening, considering that the NGC is on the end.
Understood. But would the commercial shipbuilding orders, if you manage to win it, would it be large
enough? No, we are not yet. Yeah. No. We are not yet won it. We are not yet won commercial. Okay, I am not counting the Bangladesh export project, which is commercial in nature. But the order value is just about 130 odd crores. I am looking at multi-purpose vessels for European clients who have shown interest. Because you know the market is open, and these European clients are looking at India as a potential destination for shipbuilding. So we have indicated our willingness. Negotiations are in progress. We will be starting definitely in a modest fashion. First, because we have not yet been into serious commercial shipbuilding except for one-off project for the government of Guyana with a year back. So we'll start in a modest fashion and we'll pick up from there. So, but just to answer your question, the numbers are going to be attractive in the coming years with respect to orders on commercial ships.
Understood. And sir, one last question on the margin side. You mentioned about 7.5% is what you're looking at. But if I look at, at the PAT level for last 2 years, you have been doing about 10% or so. So should we assume this level of margin what you are doing now will sustain, or should we assume 7.5% is what?
We will be sustaining the level of margin that we are currently achieving.
Understood. And we should not look it from the EBITDA margin perspective, but we should include it, look it from the PBT perspective, because other income kind of will vary. EBITDA margin and other income will keep on varying.
Understood. Noted. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now end the conference over to Commodore P.R. Hari, sir, for closing comments.
Thank you, Aditya, and thank you, Gaurav from Concept IR, for organizing this conference call. I would once again like to express my sincere gratitude to all the investors and analyst friends who have taken their time out to attend this con call and listen to what we had to communicate to you. And in case you have any queries, you may kindly contact, get in touch with us, and we will clarify each one of them. We'll be happy to address each one of them. Thank you once again, and Jai Hind.
Thank you. You may now disconnect your lines.